I was almost fired my first day as a sales rep. I have to say, I am not a natural born salesperson. Every ounce of my success has been derived from hard work, tenacity, and investing in myself professionally and personally. And I can just say that that day, I remember it like it was yesterday. Welcome back to the Selling for Yourself podcast. I'm your host, Renee Rebar, TEDx speaker, author, sales coach. I have trained thousands of people to make millions of dollars, and I'm going to break it down step by step for you right here. This podcast is specifically designed to help women-owned seed startups with that initial lift to get their business, their offers, their profit margins off the ground and running toward their goals. If you've ever thought you would make the sale but didn't, we are going to have some fun. So the bottom line is this: when you tune in, you're getting current trends in real time on how to exactly make meaningful sales activities in just 10 minutes a day, even if sales isn't your thing. I have to say, I'm a little embarrassed about it, but that day changed everything for me because it helped me get on the path that helped me find you. And when you're trying to sell for yourself, there is nothing more difficult than learning this lesson. So let me share this little story with you. This day was like a boom, like poof, like a knife through the heart. My heart dropped out of my chest, and I remember how it felt. It felt like my jaw had been slapped. I immediately felt as if I were bruised and bleeding. Okay, so maybe I'm a little dramatic. But I wasn't. It was all internal wounds, not the kind you can see on an MRI. It was my ego. Can you relate? So I was on my first sales call ever. So I'm going to kind of paint a picture for you. My trainer was there too. Her name was Shelly. We totally got along. I'll never forget her. She was the best. She was from the same town that I went to college in, and she was living solo in Albany, which is where I was starting. She was just like me. She truly was the reason I survived my first week, let alone this first day. So at the time, we were working for a small sales agency outside of Latham, New York, which is just a suburb of Albany. The client we were assigned to was a local golf course. So, I mean, I had played my fair share of golf. My brother tried to get his PGA card. My dad used to take me to the driving range when he was pissed, and we would just smash balls out into the driving range as far as we could, I'm sure without any form. But, you know, I had some good memories. So I felt like I could speak the lingo, right? It's like, I got this. So the year was 1994. Do you remember where you were in 1994? Were you born in 1994? Don't tell me. So there was no internet in our pocket, no cell phones, and definitely no GPS. Our territory that day was Saratoga Springs, New York. It is a beautiful town. Lots of people go there to vacation and to bet on the horse races. So if you've ever been, you can kind of imagine this, right? So I remember we had lunch at Professor Moriarty's, which is like the cool place. I felt kind of like I was a big deal. I had my leather briefcase, my high heels, and my business suit on. But a far cry from the cutoff jeans, tank top, and Tevas. Who remembers Teva sandals? Loved them. Loved the tan lines, right? Can't go back once you wear some Tevas. That was like my quote-unquote college uniform up until that point. I had been wearing those every day. So my university days had ended just 5 days earlier. So I was literally 5 days off of commencement. And here I was already starting my career. Going into business and meeting with other people that were either decision makers or decision influencers, different companies. We were talking about company outings and, you know, weekend duffer contests and getting out there with the kids to, you know, wake up on a Saturday and go hit the balls on the driving range like I did with my dad. But now to sell something, you know, it really definitely helps to believe in it. So I believed in that golf course that we were representing, and it was, you know, one of the best golf courses around. So it was my turn to present at the next business. So we'd been doing great. I felt ready. My trainer had a really successful morning. She treated me to lunch. I was flying high. We walked in, and after a short wait, we were ushered into the big guy's office. However, it was where it started to go off the rails. I always think of like Now, this movie was not out when I had this experience, but when I saw Tommy Boy, it felt like that day. I relate so hard to that scene where he's like, where he's in the big guy's office and he lights the desk on fire. That's what it felt like in hindsight, right? In hindsight, we have to laugh, otherwise we'll cry. That's where it all started to go off the rails. I was in the big guy's office. I knew it was my turn, and I completely lost control immediately. Immediately. He had apparently brought us in just because he wanted to tell us how, during his last visit to the golf course, he had lost a golf club in the water, and they still hadn't returned it. I mean, I laughed, and that was not the correct response, in case you were wondering. Not the correct response. So our egos met and clashed. Dun, dun, dun. So I want to repeat the fact that I was new. I had not learned the art of diffusion or any of the sales principles I've learned since, honed in, and literally have taught thousands of others to master. What I teach today is the absolute most streamlined, drilled down art and science of selling that I have cultivated from personal experience actively selling and teaching others how to sell millions of dollars in products and services. So, disclaimer, I was new. This was my first day. My ego had not been checked, and it was just about to get checked. So the next thing that happened literally still haunts me. I let him get to me. His cigar smoke scented gray suit. Like, I mean, I can just, I can still smell it. His clear belief that the world revolved around him and that even his poor golf game was someone else's fault. I mean, I was just like, I wanted to give him some golfing advice, honestly, and fashion advice. And yeah, he was not having any of it. So he asked us to either pay for his club or get him a new one. I said something to the effect of like, sir, that's not our role at the golf course. Like, what? That was also not the appropriate response. I don't remember exactly what happened next because I'm pretty sure my adrenaline shot up because I went into flight or fight mode. What I do remember is that I stood up, slammed the presentation book shut like, bam, walked out, and thank goodness my trainer was right there with me. She was able to defuse the situation and she met me outside. So we sat in her car and talked about what happened and how to handle it differently. Next time, I calmed down with a Diet Dr. Pepper and secretly a few puffs of her Marlboro Lights. You know, it was 1994, right? So the day was still young and we set out to conquer the rest of it. Like, dun 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 dun. We are unstoppable. Listen to some good music. And after that incident, everything went smoothly. I also got my first sale after the initial incident. I do not remember that as clearly. However, it did feel easy. You know, I mean, I was moving and grooving. I had my trainer with me. We were having fun. And by the end of the day, I felt like, you know, things were really going great and that this was going to be the best summer job ever because I was on my way to law school. That's really what I was doing. I was in Albany hanging out with my boyfriend at the time. I thought we were going to get married one day. We did not. I had to dodge that bullet. But in reality, like, this was going great. This was supposed to be a great summer job, and I had high hopes. I was super excited. I mean, I had only taken the job really because I wanted to live in Albany, and I needed to make some cashola, and I thought sales would be a great kind of prep role, like learning skills, honing that skill for law school. That summer had other plans, though, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, we walked back into our sales office around 6:30 p.m. Like, you know, sales is not like a 9-to-5 job, right? Many of the other sales reps were already there hanging out, doing their paperwork, finishing up for the day. And I was met with a grim face from my sales manager. And he asked me and Shelly into his office. And I was like, oh, okay. This doesn't seem like a good idea. I don't know. But I really didn't know. I didn't really know the protocol. I'm like, well, maybe he does this with everybody. He was not happy, to say the least, not happy. He had been on the phone with the man who had lost his golf club and with the golf course. Apparently, I had started a firestorm. My manager was seriously contemplating firing me, and I was worried. I was like, oh my gosh. But Shelly, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, came to the rescue again. She stood up for me, explaining how it all unfolded. And, you know, I learned a valuable lesson that day. Always preserve the relationship with the customer above all else. Always, I'll repeat after me, always preserve the relationship with the customer above all else. So even though I was quote unquote correct, that wasn't our role at the company, at the golf course, and the guy lost his golf club, it was not our fault, and it's definitely not even the golf course's fault. And to have him come in and sit us down and ream us out for his bad game and his loss, it really wasn't fair, but that doesn't mean that the way I acted was right either. So I'm sure you've come across customers that didn't treat you fairly, complained about something that really is not in your control, maybe it wasn't even anything to do with you at all, maybe something to do with software or another company completely, a bad experience they had before, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of their bad experience and them telling you blah, 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 blah. So in that case, check our ego at the door. What my sales manager ended up telling me later on, and really one of the biggest lessons for me taking away from that summer, was in sales, when you're selling to other people, the amount of crap you're willing to take will directly impact how much money you can make. Checking our ego at the door doesn't mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean saying yes to everything. It doesn't mean making promises that you can't keep. What it means is listening. And always, always, repeat after me, always preserve the relationship with the customer above all else. So no matter what you end up doing for a living, or the people you interact with become a part of your network. Because ultimately, let's say, for example, you have a company that you design people's websites, or let's say you're a copywriter, or let's say you're an ice skating instructor, you're selling your services. Eventually, potentially, you might change your services, change your offerings, add on to your offerings, change your title, go from website designer to website agency owner, go from copywriter to course creator, go from ice skate instructor to arena owner. Your job can change, but the people that you've met and interacted with, they can remain valuable pieces to the puzzle of cracking open any market, any next career, any move. So I'm not saying to never speak your mind, and I'm not saying don't stand your ground. I am saying be kind, even when you know you're right. So the truth is, you have no idea what the other person is going through right now. You have no idea if they showed up at the call and they were at the hospital earlier that morning and will be returning that evening to, nurse a baby or their dad or their aunt or their neighbor. And you have no idea if they just lost their mom or they're feeling the pain once again after the anniversary of her death. You have no idea if their husband was just diagnosed with cancer. You have no idea if their child won the national spelling bee, but they can't go because they need to stay home with the dad during his treatments. You have no idea what is happening in their life, good, bad, or indifferent. And so I've been sharing stories and answering questions, throughout my career. And I'm super excited to have this podcast as a place to share with you, to share the stories, to share the good, the bad, and the ugly, to share the ups and downs, to share the specifics, to get nitty gritty, to answer and continue to answer questions about your scenarios, what you're going through, not only how you're filling the pipeline, but how you're preparing for sales calls, how you're handling sales calls, and most importantly, how you're continuing the conversation so that no matter what happens, even if the person says no, again, we've always preserved the relationship with the customer above all else. So when, not if, because when, you'll always see them again. When you see them again, they become someone that you know, not someone who said no. And so that is one of the biggest takeaways that I want you to walk away with from this podcast today, is that you have control over that. You might not have control over what they say, but you do have control over preserving the relationship with the customer above all else. Because I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to, connected with, networked with, that never bought anything from me, but they were fantastic at connecting me with my next customer, or maybe my next five customers. And those customers connecting me with more customers, or they were able to hook me up with a fantastic opportunity that I would have never had otherwise, like my TEDx talk, or the book, or this podcast. So meeting people is always going to open up more doors for you. And so I just want you to hold that in your heart. sales is not always about getting a yes, but it is always about connecting and preserving the relationship with the customer or the person in front of you, no matter what. So thanks for listening today. I'm so glad we had this time together. Make sure you keep tuning in. See you soon.
If you ever thought you would make the sale but didn't, let's hang out more. Thank you so much for listening to the Selling for Yourself podcast. This episode is brought to you from my heart. If you loved it, please share it with someone that you like. And if you didn't like it, my name is Bob. When you subscribe to this podcast, you'll also get the chance to come to my live page, sellingforyourself.com, where you can ask questions, hear previous episodes, and stock up on your Selling for Yourself goodies.